July 26, 2019, Board of Natural Resources meeting.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yes.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
9:15, that's fast. Morning, everyone. This is the July 26, 2019 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. It's 9:15 a.m. Thank you for being here. Let's see. First up, somebody want to read our contested case statement?
I can do so. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing, and if such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It's up to you. Any request must be orally made by the end of the meeting and followed up in writing within 10 days. And if no request for a contested case is made, the board will make a decision. The department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly.
Okay, thank you. Board members, first we're going to review the minutes from the June 14, 2019 meeting. You have some amendments from Member Ewan. Are there any other questions or comments?
Anything from the public?
Any public testimony? Not. Is there a motion to approve as
Move
amended?
Approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, first up on the move-up agenda is D7.
Good morning, board members. Russell Tsuji for land. D7 is an amendment to an existing lease with the federal government for a school, elementary school, and we're amending, asking the board to amend it to add some additional schools and also to extend the term to 2044. These are elementary schools on federal property.
Okay, questions, board members?
2044.
No questions? Do you want to add anything? No? Any public testimony on this? Not. Is there a motion to
move to approve staff recommendation?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, next up is D8.
D8 is one of the board members, I think it was Jimmy, asked last month about DHHL and what are we holding any lands. And this is an example of one where these lands in Copley are going over to DHHL, but because it involves just raw land and they got to develop the land, they asked us to hold it because an example like this where the road ultimately is going to be dedicated to the county, if it goes into the DHHL's inventory, it becomes trust lands and it becomes very difficult to transfer any land out. So we have an MOA with DHHL. This goes back over to when Michael Kane was chair. And it continued on through administrations where we hold on to the property, even though it's designated for DHHL's future development. And when they're ready, they start developing the lands, and here they actually want to construct the road. The neighboring property owner, D.R. Horton, and them have been working together on it, and so D.R. Horton, because they're starting up their construction on their site right now in Kapolei for their homes, is taking the lead on developing, building out this road for DHHL. And at the end, where the idea is we're going to ultimately get the county to accept it, and we're going to turn it over to the county.
Okay, questions, board members? Okay, is the applicant... Want to add anything? Any public testimony? Not. Is there a motion to
In lieu of Oahu, I will move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. OK, Okay, next up is C2.
That's going to be my garden product.
Okay.
Revised maps for you guys. So
C2.
Just the better maps. I was going to put it up, but it's not working. When I tested it, it worked. So you're asking, why is Pua here when she doesn't work in forestry? So I'm Pua IU. I'm in the chair's office. And the reason I'm handling this is because Dave had to go to another meeting, so he apologizes that he can't be here. And I was working on it because the request originally came in through the governor's office of homelessness. And since I'm the person who works on homelessness, I was helping work on this project. The request before you is to cancel executive order and reset it aside for housing purposes to the county of Kauai and to forestry for the management of, for forestry for base yard and nursery purposes. In addition to moving the property for housing purposes, the purple part at the bottom of your colored triangle is the Spark Matsunaga Memorial, and we will be transferring that to the county as well for their management, and we'll be transferring the CIP as well for that. So that's the request, as well as a 343 exemption.
Okay, questions, board members?
Yeah, I got a question. You know, you guys broke it down into like six lots, six parcels.
Yes.
What was the purpose of that?
I don't know the answer to that. That was Sherry did that.
This is one parcel.
This is one parcel, and I'm sorry, I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
To that.
So. Eventually, it's going to be two parcels, correct?
Eventually, it'll be two parcels. So it'll be the existing base yard, which is right. All of this, and then this will be added to the existing base yard, which will be one parcel, and this will be the second parcel.
And then, my understanding to do an EO, you got to subdivide the property, correct?
Yes, so the county, and the county is here, will be working on the subdivision.
Because to me, the bottom middle is kind of shallow.
Yeah.
You know, for
there's not a lot of background.
Something as important as this, you know, if you can do my one page, just give me damn good, but that means you're not putting enough information.
Would you like more information?
Yeah,
let's get some more information, maybe.
The county can come in. I can give you a little bit of the background. So in early December, the county requested that we give them a part of this parcel to meet the governor's affordable housing program. Our chair and our first deputy went to Kauai to meet with the mayor at the end of January, and we're convinced that this would be a good use of the land, came back and asked us to start working on it. And so this is the result of that. I mean, there's not, there's a county one. Come on.
Good morning. Mike DeHealy and Keith Perry, County of Kauai.
Yeah, so, you're the planning director up until last year, so you know that you have to subdivide the property.
Right. Yeah. Part of what is facilitating the urgency behind this is that we are still under a governor's emergency proclamation with respect to the homeless emergency across the state. And we are prepared at the county to be able to facilitate an expedited subdivision process once the meets and bounds are between DLNR and us, and are able to put it before the Planning Commission in a very short order.
Just to respond to your question, this was kind of a last minute
Figured it.
Yeah, sorry.
Because, you know, knowing that area over there, you know, you get the health department, part of the health department in the back, and then you have vector control, then you get DLN, the rest is all DLN and all different divisions. And Over there, there's not sewer. There's, the only sewer line would be for the new water department.
Yep.
So you guys would be improving the sewer system in that area.
That's the intent, is to improve the sewer system in the area.
And then I know you guys had already had plans for the parking lot across the street from the arboretum, correct?
Right.
That, how is that coming along?
That's still coming along. We have gone out to, we went for an invitation for proposals. And selected a partner to use that parcel to put in 40 low income rental units. Uh-huh. And it's recently been given the clearance by HHFDC to move forward with that housing. So there's the reason why this parcel was ideal, because of the potential step up right across the street from this area, is actually the county's homeless facility. So having all the resources co-located in the same area was appealing to the county.
And then, you know, like I know that the subdivision process takes a while. Being that the county, this is a county project along with the governor, you guys gonna try to expedite the process?
Yeah, under the proclamation, Chapter 46 is waived, so we're able to expedite under the Kauai County Code and bypass some of the reporting requirements in the Chapter 9 of the Kauai County Code.
And this is, I know it's going to be a homeless shelter. It's going to be housing. Will it be similar to the one we have in Oahu by the Nimitz Highway?
Yeah, we've been looking at Kahuwiki Village as a model for, reproduction here in this area. We've been in contact with the supplier of some of the housing product that you see down in Nimitz, and whether that makes sense for us. What the mayor is wanting to track is something that along the lines of permanent supportive housing, so something that is beyond the shelter, but at the same time something that provides an opportunity for families to be able to get their feet under them and move on to the regular housing market.
Okay, and then the Spakmak Tunai Memorial portion, was the veterans agreeable with letting the county take over?
We've been in consultation with individuals that have been in management of that project, and particularly we've also been in contact with Ed Kamara, who's also lives right down the street, and so he's aware of some of the attention by us to take over the management of the Matsunaga Memorial and enhance it, and also try to better integrate it into what else is being planned in that area.
Okay. That's what I was worried about. If Carmel was against it, he's not against it.
No, we've been, Mayor and myself and Keith as well, we've all been in contact with Mr. Carmel.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I have.
Okay.
And I will add, because Dofa isn't here, that this was an area that Dofa was planning to use for an expansion area, but it's important to the county for their homeless housing program, and so we, our folks have been working collaboratively with the county to try to come up with something that works for both. Okay. Any other questions? Anything else to add?
Well, we thank your support of this chair case and the governor's support on this, and we appreciate the collaborative effort that we've been engaging in to get to this point.
Great. Thanks. Any public testimony on this? If not, is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Everybody good?
Aye.
You voted too, Tommy?
Huh?
Did you vote?
Give me the motion.
I know.
The motion.
I know, but I didn't hear that. Okay. Okay, next up. Next up on the move up is D4.
D4 is coming before the board to ask that you. This is a resolution we came up with during a rent reopening, and through the mediation process. As you can tell from the submittal, the two appraisers were very close on the, in fact, identical on the base rent It was 39,000 their less their appraisal. Ours was 39.3. The difference was their appraiser insisted that their fair market value for the property does not include any of the sharing of the sublease rent, which had been entered into earlier. Granted by the board, it was an amendment that was granted. I think it was when Kevin was took to the board a blanket or a large amount of consent to sublease because HTI was at that time, and if you guys just remember, HTI was once in bankruptcy. They emerged from bankruptcy, but I think, and this may have been even a continuation of a financial plan where they decided to basically sell the leasehold interest but take back a sublease position. And so what was before the board earlier was a consent to sublease, and that's where this, the percentage of the sublease rent amendment came into play. We met with the current owner, Insight, and we met with the general counsel, flew down from the mainland, and their counsel here, the local counsel, and we went through the mediation process with Jim Hallstrom, who is an appraiser that on our professional services list. Ultimately, we're asking the board to agree to a settlement that we thought was fair, very fair, and taking into consideration that Insight explained that it just didn't, the percentage of rent in addition to the base rent at $39,000 would really make it not feasible for them financially. It came into play because the market, maybe initially it didn't hurt as much because the base rent was lower, much lower. And so the proposal before you is that if the board would agree to, instead of base rent and the percentage of the sublease rent, it's be the greater of. So they'll pay the base rent, and then even if the percentage rents end up being more, then they'll pay that portion. As a sweetener, they doubled the $39,300 to $78,600 as an incentive for the board. And finally, a very important agreement they made is they're willing to agree to add a provision in the lease that would say at the end of the term, at the board's discretion, it can either allow the equipment or the facility to stay or be removed. And in having gone through other instances in Hilo where we did not have those provisions, we know what the ramifications can be, very expensive in Uncle Billy's case. And so that is before you, and that is what staff is recommending. In attendance is counsel for Insight, as well as our counsel as well.
Okay, thank you. All right, questions? Anybody have any questions? Nope. Insight, want to add anything?
Ronnie Jackson, Insights Council, submitted testimony, and we stand by that testimony.
Okay, thank you. Any public testimony on this? Not. Is there a motion to approve D4 as submitted?
In lieu of Oahu, so moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next up is J1 and D6. J1.
Good morning, board members. Richard Howard for voting. Item J1 is a request for approval of the final environmental assessment for the Jupiter Research Foundation Marine Science Center, and request for authorization for the board to issue a finding of no significant impact and authorize issuance of a direct lease with the Jupiter Foundation for purposes of a marine science center situated at Kauai High, Small Boat Harbor South. The term of the lease is 65 years, and the area is approximately 1.5 acres. The applicant proposes to construct a 14,000 square foot marine science center and a 2,400 square foot garage on the property. A slight correction I think needs to be made to page 3 of the submittal. It says the annual rent to be determined through direct negotiations. Staff did procure an appraisal for this property, and the applicant has agreed to the appraised rent. It doesn't list that in the last sentence of the paragraph. So just to clarify that point, we do have an agreement on the rent. A little bit about the Jupiter Foundation. They are a 501c3 entity founded in 2003. They plan to use the proposed facility to accommodate basic research in the areas of marine science, oceanic environment, communications, and electrobiology. A couple of items relating to the Kauai High Small Boat Harbor South that impact this project. The first is the boat ramp that Dobor is building. The ramp is under construction, and the completion date, according to our engineer, is December of this year. And we're also bringing water to the site. The engineering has informed me that the contract for to bring water in is currently with the Office of the AG, and they expect actually to begin work, get everything signed, and begin work next month. Finally, I have to mention that the link that was provided in the submittal is for the draft EA, and it did not contain the comments and the consultants' responses to those comments. Staff emailed this information to the board on Wednesday. And finally, the applicant is here. If you have any questions, as is their consultant.
Thank you. Okay, questions, board members?
I have a question for the applicant.
Okay.
Oh, shots.
Are you the applicant?
You're right. Okay.
They want to hear from Joe.
No. But the question was, I was just curious what electrobiology is.
Excuse me, what's your name?
Joe. This is Joe Rizzi coming.
Yeah, but who are you?
I'm Peter Young.
for the tape, you know that's it.
Yeah.
So it's not meant, you know, I'm just curious about electrobiology. I could picture all kinds of things.
Let me just tell you what we're doing in that area, and then I can answer any questions. All living cells produce electrical signals. We have developed, this is actually a 10-year-old project that's ongoing, we've developed technology for amplifying those signals to go from the small level of signal at the surface of a biological element, amplify that, put it on computers, and developed a lot of techniques for looking at and analyzing those signals. We're looking for evidence of communication amongst these biological cells or these biological entities that can lead to understanding how they function and how one might deal with them. And it can apply to a wide range of things. This is a pure research project, trying to see if we can learn anything about how these cells communicate with one another.
And this would be with cells or organisms in the marine environment?
Includes that, yes.
Oh, okay, but not only.
Not only.
Interesting.
We work with all kinds of plants, and we've also worked with different kinds of fungi, different kinds of all different kinds of structures, including the structures.
It just caught my eye because all the rest of them were very clearly marine related, or at least I could see that there was a direct link to marine climate change, the dissolved plastics, humpback whales, oceanic environments, etc.
Yeah.
So that was the one that stood out, and it's like, actual biology.
Some of these things are more linked than they would appear. Like one of the problems in the plastic project, I don't want to drone on about this, but one of the issues, just to give you an example of how this might apply, we're trying to develop equipment to count microplastics in the ocean. And one of the things that happens is the minute you have microplastic in the ocean, it gets encrusted with algae. And to determine whether there's plastic inside the algae or whether it's just algae is very, very complicated. And one of the things we're looking at to try to solve that problem is electrical biological signaling. We're also looking at fluorescing and a variety of other things. It's a complex problem in basic research, but we need to find an answer.
Thank you.
That's a link.
So if you have the answer to this plastic, how will you remove it or prevent? You can't prevent it because it's in the water.
No, the study right now is to try to develop some equipment so that we can see how much microplastic actually exists. The term gets used incorrectly in the media, where microplastic is any kind of small plastic, smaller than a Coke bottle. But the reality is, microplastic is actually microscopic. They're not things you can see without a microscope. And we have a marine microscope. And so we want to count how much microplastic exists. And it's not good enough to just count every microscopic blob we see. We have to know if inside that blob is actually plastic. To answer your question, right now the goal is to just see if we can find out how much microplastic exists. And then to learn more about how to actually deal with it.
How do you get funds, grants?
We have grants and collaborative funding, yes.
Other questions?
Perhaps this is too dull, but maybe you know the answer. You folks are going to share a parking lot there with the surfers. Surfing right there, that's why that square area is there next to the breakwater, because that's where we used to have the Tiger Asperry Longboard competition for many years. But that whole jetty or area there that is outside the harbor, that is a very prime surfing area for the Big Island when you have a south swell. And they have a lot of competition there during this time of the year. Summer, fall, that's the time when the south swell hits there. So I'm just curious whether or not we're going to have a problem in that parking lot. Research facility immediately next to a bunch of surfers that are going to come early in the morning. The waves are good there from 6 o'clock to about 9:30 in the morning, and then when the wind turns onshore, then the surfing is not so good anymore. But before that, it's very good, and it's widely used by the people who live in the Kamauela, Kwaihai, Kona area, Kohala. There's always a good-sized crowd there. So
the facility will be self-contained, so it'll have its own parking. It's not going to take parking from the surfing area or the boating area.
Will the public have restricted access along that driveway that comes in from Konipuli Highway once your facility is in? Maybe that's a question for Ed.
No, it will not. It'll be open access to the public.
Okay. That's all.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you. Any public testimony on this? If not, is there a motion to approve the submittal?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you very much. Good luck. Okay, D6.
D6, we're asking the board to grant a set-aside of this area to the Division of Boating. This is the Kanehele Yacht Club area, and we thought it would be prudent to have this facility under Doughboard management. We've had discussions with Ed and his staff, and they're willing to accept the property. We're working on getting a map together for the area, including the submerged land area. So the fast land is owned by the private property, Kanehele Yacht Club, and so the only thing we have is the ocean area. We're having to figuring out how to survey that with DAG's survey and our staff and boating, and would like to set aside if granted by the board. I understand Ed has also had preliminary discussions on with the yacht club representative Peter Young on rent and stuff, but it's premature at this point because there's no real reason to rent that at this point. We're not changing the disposition yet. I think ultimately Ed is going to do that though.
Okay. All right. Questions, board members? I know we discussed this previously. Stan,
if I recall correctly. Russell, we have had some photos of the area on prior dockets dealing with the Kanehele Yacht Club. And part of the area where they have piers sticking out, they have boats parked there that don't have leases, if I recall correctly. They have piers sticking out and they have boats tied up into those piers. But there did not appear to be any kind of a rental situation between the state and those people using those piers. Have you folks taken a look at that?
Ed Underwood, Administrator with Division of Boat and Ocean Recreation. Yes, we have, and we've been working with Mr. Young on how to come up with a rent structure for those moored vessels.
Okay, that's all.
Okay, any other questions? Any public
test?
Yeah, go ahead.
This wouldn't come under our fee schedule?
No, it would not.
Okay. Does this transfer change? At the end of the, later on, we're going to do something with the RP, possibly have an easement, some longer term disposition. Does this transfer change how that would be determined at all, besides changing the managerial responsibility?
It doesn't get into how that is determined. We figured it
would end up being a fair market value decision. Yeah. And it could be, if it was an easement, it could be negotiated and then brought to the board, as you were going to do at one point. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And Dobar has an example, but I know they're talking about in Waikiki where the yacht club built the facility as well. So I know the big issue here is that Kanehele Yacht Club built this out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
a lot of part of Alawai is built by Dobor, but in the yacht club's case, they built the facility.
Yeah, and they own the fast land around it. So okay. That's what we're negotiating right now.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Anything else? Any public testimony on this? Okay, if not, is there a motion to
approve? In lieu of Oahu, I will make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Chair, as noted earlier, I will be for this item.
Ah, yes. Hey, Sam? Yeah, I was going to do the M1 through 5 first. Just.
I'll bring it back.
I'm just jumping along if Sam's here. Yeah, let's do
a bathroom break too.
Okay, and 1 through 5.
Okay.
Good morning, Chase. Chair Case and board members, Ross Smith from the Department of Transportation Airports Division for items M1 through 5. I'd be happy to forego my synopsis.
Any questions, board members, on M1 through 5?
Is M4, mm-hmm. This is the same one you got before us about a month ago.
Same issue, yeah. Oh, in this case, it's... Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Hegel one just now. I thought of this one as in terms of the Hegel one just a moment ago. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
And then we defer this, yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm. It's coming back. We're bringing it back because we would like to get a decision on this. It is within the status that we have for preferential holdrooms. They do qualify. And... in this case, it is the case that Hawaiian would be using on a preferential basis gates 3, 4, 5, and 6. That would leave 7, 8, 9, 10 for others. The fact that you have a preferential use does not mean that others can't use the gate. If someone comes in and Hawaiian is not there, the gate can be used by the other airline.
So, saying that,
we have two of them. Sorry, two preferential gates are on the agenda today.
Which is the other one?
M2 is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. M2 is at Kona. M4 is at Lihue. Yes.
Okay. M2 is Kona.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Then so right now, Hawaiian Airlines is gate 3, 4, and 5. Four, five, and six.
4, 5, and 6. Yes.
7, 8. And it's not you guys' gate, correct?
7, 8, 9, 10 is not preferential to anybody.
So, like, like I explained the last time that I think it was American Airlines uses gate 3. They would still be able to use gate 3.
It depends upon the occupancy of Hawaiian or not. But all the other gates are available, right? So, they might have to move to 7, 8, 9, 10 side, depending upon how Hawaiian schedule works out during the day.
And then you just recently, 2 minutes ago, you said that if Hawaiian's not using any of the gates, they can use the gates.
If there is a gate that is open and other gates are not available, yes, they may use the Hawaiian gate. It's not like they have to stand aside and wait for another gate to come open.
Okay. Yeah, because I still get my concerns about this issue, yeah, so.
Yes.
Nothing will change my mind.
Two weeks ago, when we discussed the Hilo Airport,
yes,
we were discussing the problems relating to people getting off at one end and walking together. Two things have occurred since that. My understanding is that, this is talking to the security personnel, that within the next 6 months they're going to open up the other end that we used to have open on what would be the Makai end. We have an escalator there and we also have a baggage claim area there. That's been closed for a number of years,
yes,
and they're going to open it up again so that you can go either way depending on where your plane lands. So I understand. Am I correct what they're telling me?
Unfortunately, I have not been apprised of that.
Can you check
going
on
to
that?
Happen. I would.
Okay. The other thing is the legislature in the 2019 legislative session appropriated $23,500,000 for renovation of the Hilo Airport. They must have heard Commissioner Oi talking about it, so they jumped right on it and they appropriated that money. So I don't know when that's going to go out to bid, but they have plans to put in air condition and other renovations at Hilo.
Yeah, now, I'm not available. I have not seen any plans yet I generally get them only when they go out to bid.
I see. Yeah. Well, it probably won't happen right away because they just passed the money, so
yes.
It has to go through the governor's office, Department of Transportation, and so mm-hmm. forth.
Yes.
Okay, any other questions?
For any of them?
Yeah, any.
I'm sorry. M2, let me just ask the same questions that I think we've been asking for all these preferential hold room situations.
Yes.
So what is tied up now with preferential hold rooms at Kona Airport?
What is called, I think Hawaiian has a preferential gate. This is the first time that we've had someone else come in and ask for one, mm-hmm. as far as I'm aware.
And there are gates available should another carrier wish to get their own hold room.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there are. All right. There are not that many airlines that fly in and out of Kona that would make the necessary number of turns, however.
Right, yeah. Right. Just in case. And back to M4.
Mm-hmm.
So Hawaiian has had these 3, 4, 5, and 6 for some time.
4, 5, 6.
4, 5, 6, they've been preferential.
4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Did it happen during this thing with people here on the board? I'm just curious because I don't remember.
4 was recent.
4 was just this recent.
4 was just new. 5 and 6 have been preferential for a long period of time, yes.
So, and these are RPs, so if there was an operational problem, DOT can terminate the RP?
We could, yes.
All right, and no liability on DOT's side?
Well, obviously, from DOT's side, we obviously want to make sure that the gates are being used appropriately and by the land. If for some reason Hawaiian all of a sudden cut its schedule in half to Lihue, obviously we would also take away at least 2 of their preferential gates, but they still would be able to use the gate.
They wouldn't qualify.
They don't get the first dibs on it.
Right. Okay, I'm okay with this.
Okay. I have one more question.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me when you're having this discussion that once something goes into an RP and we vote on it, it never comes back again. So if you have a preferential treatment RP, and Hawaiian Airlines, for example, has it, it goes on forever. We never get a chance to change that, even though there may be, legitimate reasons to give it to somebody else who's growing and competing. So how do we handle that?
And from what we understand, anything that we have issued on a revocable permit may be renewed by DOT, does not have to come back to the board and say, Mother, may I?
Well, we're not your mother.
Yeah.
But you can use that terminology, I guess. I wouldn't use that terminology.
But
straight from the record.
I apologize for that.
So maybe we, on these preferential ones, the problem with the preferential ones is that over time, the economic forces at the airport might change, but we have no chance to adjust through our decisions so that we make it equitable for everybody at the airport, all of the airlines. So
okay.
Can we put a condition on it to say that you all preferential RPs that you bring it back every year as a condition of our approval?
The contract between us and the airlines is what determines that they are allowed to have a preferential gate or not, and that's all of the, it sets the boundaries of 6 turns and all of that sort of thing, and they are eligible to do that. The airline has to ask us for that status before we will give it to them. We don't automatically give it to them. Since it doesn't, these have never been to the board because they're part of the agreement between the airlines and the state from way back when, way back when. We've been talking about that, I think, a little bit last time on the first amended lease extension, which is 2007, I think. And so I don't know about the idea of changing the 2007 agreement with us and the airlines for that specific purpose.
What if we said that, if, for example, if an airline wants preferential on a certain gate, mm-hmm. that we said we give it to you on condition you give up one on, that you already have on the other gate?
That would seem to not fit into the ability of saying, if you have six turns, you're entitled to a preferential gate. Because obviously Hawaiian is the example. They have all of the inter-island terminal at Honolulu is preferential. That's how many flights they have. So it would be difficult to say, okay, somebody else coming in to, who's going to fly directly out of that particular, but would like to fly out of that building, and they're doing it on less than a preferential basis. It would be even hard on a preferential basis, but if they were less than a preferential, we couldn't say, you get to use this gate and we'll kick the preferential to something else. Would have to be for another preferential, as far as I understand, and it has never been done. So I don't know what the results would be.
In recent memory, nothing's ever been done because Hawaiian Airlines had a monopoly.
Well, we've had Alaska is asking...
That has to be factored in by you folks. Now you have competition.
Okay, again, this is covering all airlines that use our airports. In this case, for example, United Airlines can have 2, 3, something, or 4 preferential gates. It does not want to have preferential gates. It made the decision that we'll go where you want to put it, wherever you want to put us. And we all know it's going to be primarily in the Diamond Head concourse, but the specific gate may not be the same, let's say, at that time. And if somebody else comes in and is delayed, let's say Delta comes in and is delayed, Hawaiian would not get that gate that they were getting last week. They would be moving to another gate. But we haven't done anything like that. We've offered to others, and like I said, we have had two. Hawaiian is one, and Alaska is another. So if anybody else wants to ask to be a preferential, it would be, you know, as long as they meet the criteria, that would be okay. Now then the question would be, can you take a preferential gate from one airline and give it to another airline which has the preferential status? That has not come up.
So Ross, I have a question.
Yes.
If you have preferential gate, he has to have 6 turnarounds.
Yes.
So the guy applies, or whatever airline applies, mm-hmm. he gets the okay. Mm-hmm. But then down the road, he doesn't have 6 turnarounds. Does he lose that preferential?
Yes. Rate? It's given on an annual basis.
Oh, okay.
It's a reviewed, yes.
Chris.
Did you say that Hawaiian has all the gates on a preferential basis on the inter-island terminal in Honolulu?
Yes.
Did I hear that wrong?
Yes.
So the moment they lose their ability to do that, we have to do it.
The other question is, can somebody get a preferential gate by showing you a schedule? Like if they were just starting a service and they said, this is going to be our schedule and we're going to do 6 turnarounds. Do they have to actually establish that, or can they just jump in? If they
come in and they decide that they're going to be a signatory and all of that, then we would allow them to have the preferential status. Mm-hmm. However, the minute that their schedule does not match what they're flying, that preferential ability will go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I think we're doing good oversight on this and on the board level. I'd be concerned if we were talking about the last gate that's available. I'm a little concerned about what's happened at Honolulu Airport Terminal, but that seems to be long out the door.
Well, let's just say it became this way when Aloha ceased to operate.
Yes.
Up until that point, you had Aloha having half of the Inter-Hawaiian terminal and Hawaiian having the other half on a preferential basis.
So if all of a sudden Aloha revived and equally, could they get half of that terminal back?
It would be it's something that we haven't explored yet as to how we, where would we put them and what we would do.
But
because
that's a situation where the fact that these are
yes.
revocable permits gives you flexibility.
We can then go in and, that's why I say we haven't had to deal with it yet, so I can't give you an answer. But it doesn't mean that they couldn't necessarily get one.
Okay.
Well, I think that you have to look at, and I think the board has been looking at the potentially anti-competitive aspects mm-hmm. of this. You're Hawaiian, they're paying a lot of money
yes.
to do this and at the airport at a point in time where
there is no company.
There's not a lot of, so they're doing this for some reason, and I hope that DOT would review the situation if you had another carrier. Obviously, there's some operational advantages to having a set gate that you're operating out of. I don't think necessarily that one gate is vastly better than another, but mm-hmm. just to know that you're operating out of this certain area. I guess from even where your people are going to be and hang out in between flights. I don't think there's anything we can do about international airport. From what I've heard, I'm not that concerned about the other two airports that we actually have in front of us today. But I hope that you would look at this very closely. If you had another inter-island competitor that would have the volume and the capacity that would justify their having preferential hold rooms at the Honolulu International Airport.
From seeing the increased activity by some other airlines, and that includes going from island to island, nowhere near any kind of schedule like Hawaiian does, but they also fly mainland to here and then here to the other neighboring island and back to the mainland. None of them have asked to be anywhere near Hawaiian. They've all been in the main terminal because they do have flights that are overseas as well as the inter-island flight. So you will have an inter-island flight that leaves from the overseas terminal if you happen to be flying on that airline.
Because, Ross, as far as Kauai,
mm-hmm.
Hawaiian has not increased their flights to Kauai. All they're doing is moving it from one gate to the next gate. Now, because you go come in for preparation gate on mm-hmm. 3, they will move their flights to gate 3 now. Because I know during the day, only in the morning they use gate 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
After that, all day, nobody uses it. They're using 4, and then 4 because they're trying to get preferential that for preferential gate, and they're going to do the same thing for gate 3. That's why I look at this funnel, with concern, because it seems like what they're doing is just like trying to corral all these gates, because they get two already that they were using all this time,
mm-hmm.
and they could handle the flights with that two gates.
Right.
But now what they do is fly a couple flights in the morning because they have that gate already, then they ship everything to the other gates,
mm-hmm.
Again,
the thing is, if you have a preferential gate and it is vacant at the time that someone else lands, if there is not another gate that to be used, we can put them into the Hawaiian gate if we want.
I think maybe that's my concern, how things are going mm-hmm. right now. Because I come to the board meeting every other week,
mm-hmm. yep.
and I can see that, now we're only flying back from Kauai in the afternoon at gate 4.
Mm-hmm.
Gate 5 and 6 is not being used. They use gate 5 and 6 in the morning. So,
I've used 6 at late at night too.
Maybe you guys got to get your manager or somebody counting the flights coming in at the gates. Let's see what's going on. because if that's the pattern that they're doing right now, you know what I mean? It's are they doing it to serve the public, or are they doing it just to corral all these gates?
That I can't tell you. That's what's in Hawaiian's mind and what they're thinking they can do. Yes.
For me, I can see them getting gate 3, 4, 5, and 6 mm-hmm. because all the operation is on that side of the airport.
Yes. Yes.
You know, which is fine, but then if you don't need it, why take it?
Like I said, it's available to them under the rule. The rule is what they're following. Within that, yeah.
Big Island with a shipping over.
But the same thing, as I was just saying, is if the preferential gate is open and let's say somebody is delayed out of the other four gates and the gates are full, the incoming aircraft, regardless of who it is, can go and use that Hawaiian, what is a Hawaiian preferential gate. So if, let's say, United came in with a second flight and for a mechanical reason, they haven't been able to vacate the gate that they normally leave, and that's what they normally park into, they go into another gate, whatever's available. We wouldn't keep people from sitting out as much as
so
possible.
It's like, gate 3, I know American Airlines uses gate 3.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now what's going to happen if they want to use gate 3 and Hawaiian using gate 3?
Hawaiian has the preferential is for Hawaiian, yes.
This, Chair.
Yep.
This is going to come to a head, Mr. Smith. And eventually it's going to get to the legislature. And there's going to be a robust discussion in this area. Mm-hmm. When the complaints get louder and louder and louder by the local people from all of the airlines around the state, local people flying to Honolulu, to the other island, mm-hmm. and they're going to begin to see this pattern that you folks appear to give preference to certain airlines over others. And so when the noise gets loud enough, the legislature is going to change this. They have the authority to make the laws and change this if they don't like the pattern of behavior. So either we change it piece by piece when you come here, or you wait until the noise gets so loud, the legislature does some kind of a massive change that maybe nobody will like. That's all.
Once again, let me say that the idea of preferential gates comes out of the industry, and it is an agreement between the airlines and the state. It was the airlines who come into that to say, I would like to, if I'm here enough times, I'd like to be able to count on being a gate 5, gate 10, gate 20, whatever it is. So it is an industry generated thing. It's been there. I mean, it's been there since 2007, as far as I
remember. The legislators represent the people in the different communities. They may have a different point of view than so-called True. Industry, right? So it's going to come to a head. We'll see.
Okay, any other questions? Is there any public testimony on this? If not, is there a motion to approve M5 as submitted?
M1 through 5.
Sorry, M1 through 5. What did I say?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Tommy?
Did you vote? I'll approve M1 through 3, 5, and vote no on 4.
Vote no on 4. Okay, any other differential votes? Okay, all in favor of M1 through 5 except for Tommy on M4?
Yeah. Aye.
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 Aye. And you could say, I. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank
okay.
you.
Ross, you know that agreement with the airlines, mm-hmm. you were supposed to, we asked for a copy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I will get back to it.
Bam. Okay, so, and I'm sorry, I'm just trying to organize this agenda. Which one are you here for?
M6.
M6. Is there somebody from DOT for M7?
You got outside.
Nobody from DOT for M7. Okay, then we are going to go...
I think we can do... Hawaii tenant on... just at Dalto.
Okay. Let's do M6. Oh, you did sign up. Okay, yeah, room 6.
Okay, my name's Olivia Pham. I'm representing DOT Harbors to request approval for the issuance of 2 revocable permits to Hawaii Stevedores at Pier 51 Honolulu Harbor for an emergency diesel generator as well as a power shop.
Okay, any questions? Board members on M6? No questions. Any public testimony on M6? If not, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. I-1. Sam, you may go to the bathroom.
We take a break.
You want to take a break? Okay. Sorry. Short break.
Oh, good.
Short break.
I wanted to... We got a big hunk of stuff, and I wanted a few minutes to be able to read this.
Okay.
Okay,
big hunk of stuff. Okay, we got a big hunk of stuff on I-1. Take a look at it.
10:17, the board takes a break.